Hello and welcome to the Psychic Stories podcast, encouraging conversations about mental health. Today I'm speaking to Alexei and Kiri Patalis, hosts of the Mindfield podcast and two brothers on a quest to understand the human mind better through real life stories and expert opinions. Hello guys, how are you doing?
Hi Matt, very good, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Good. Alexei, well, how are you doing? You well?
Yeah, really good, really good. I was saying just before that it's going to be a very interesting conversation because this is the first time that Kiri and I have been interviewed rather than been the podcast hosts. So there'll probably be quite a lot of disagreement, but also a lot of sort of agreement at the same time on why we started the podcast. And yeah, it'll be interesting for us.
Good. Well, I'm glad. And I think the goal of today is to have an open and honest conversation about both of your mental health journeys. And like you said, like we were speaking previously, you guys are brothers, but actually you said you are, you know, in some respects, polar opposites. So it'd be really interesting to see how that has blended together and converged onto the Mindfield podcast, and perhaps to get some insight into the tools and techniques that have helped you both along the way. And perhaps there are some similarities, perhaps there's some differences. And by discussing your journey, we hope to share and normalize these conversations about mental health, as often people are not alone in these experiences, which I'm sure you have had much experience from talking to people on your podcast.
Absolutely. Definitely. I'm going to defer to Alexei because the initial, I reckon the podcast is more his idea. I'll give him credit than his mine. So I don't know, Alex, do you want to go first? And then I maybe can add stuff in as we go.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always worth saying that there are probably about 100 different things that led to me, for example, setting up the podcast. But for the sake of talking on here and keeping things concise and easy to sort of follow, for me, as a youngster at school, I was very different to Kiri in the sense of school really worked for him. He was an academic. I was more of a sort of, I would say I had more of a philosophy mindset, and sort of wasn't great at exams, but I absolutely loved interactions with people around me. And I think when I was sort of around 18 leaving school, I just started to notice that there was a conversation that was going on in my mind. And I was very fascinated by the fact that why was no one talking about this? Is it just me? It must be just me because no one's mentioned that they have this sort of conversation going on in their head. And I think, from what I've realized is some people more than other, but we all have mental health. And for me, that is my relationship with myself and my mind and what's going on up there. And so I think I started to explore personally, away from Kiri at this point, like we all do, in whether it's reading books or what experiences are making me feel great and what aren't, or what I've learned from those different experiences. And I think it also coincided with I was working on various startups, and that was bringing a lot of pressure into my life, and it's
very stressful. It's all consuming, isn't it?
Definitely, and it was overwhelming. You know, whether it's the pressure of, you know, is this going to work? Is this going to be a big break, or what am I doing? Because I definitely was interested in setting something big up, but I just didn't know what it was. And I think I was always led down the path of business, just by my nature and the people around me. And it was only actually until a time where someone for the first time sort of asked me, well, what do you really want to do? Why, you know, my mental health started to suffer. And the question that really helped me was, you know, if you could do anything you wanted, what would it be? And I started to, you know, in a very simple sense, that was the conversation, but it was a very in-depth conversation over a year or two's time of how can we navigate your life towards something where it's going to work for you, and you're going to be happy. You don't have to be happy all the time, but you're going to get this feeling and this buzz of being alive, which for me, I noticed was what, again, mental health was to me. It was a natural feeling of, wow, I feel seen, I feel alive, and actually I feel happy in myself without anyone else's validation. And Yeah.
I was going to say, it seems to me as well that you've taken that approach of almost like life design. So you've kind of taken it, you know, in a philosophical way, there's some logic to it. You say, actually, in this situation, maybe working in startups, I'm feeling like everything's, you know, and the nature of startups is everything's very reactive. So you don't have any control over it, but you're saying, okay, actually, I know, or I've, you know, in the early years of my life, I might understand what makes me more positive, makes me more negative. And therefore, if I can reconcile those internal feelings with the external things that I do, that seems to be a good recipe for hopefully a majority of a positive life.
Yeah, definitely. I always like to say that for me, there's this constant running through my life, which is, what am I pouring a lot of my attention into, and what value am I giving to myself and to others around me? And then it's, what am I doing on the daily that is keeping me feeling healthy, just in a mind sense of everyday practices, like you mentioned at the start. It's, you know, that's what you kind of do. There are tools and things that can make that easier.
Yeah.
But for me, one of the most important things was, and people call it purpose, they call it, you know, a reason for doing things. And I really needed a bit more of a why, and I don't think it's not about finding exactly what that is. It's now, what can I control? What can I go on to do? What might work, and what might I learn the most from, and find myself, find out more about myself the most from, and have that positive effect on others. And I started to do that.
It's interesting you say that about that kind of that, you know, starting with that why approach. And For those that are listening, that can be some, you know, and I'm sure for both of you that there's some very deep questions that kind of, or conversations that go along with that. But sometimes, yeah, I've certainly found that sometimes you might not necessarily know what that why is, but if you can come up with a good answer when you ask yourself, why am I doing something, and it comes up with a legitimate answer rather than, you know, I'm following in my family's footsteps, or someone told me to do that, but you can actually answer it. That's a really good starting point, I've certainly found, because it means that you've actually aligned what your internal reasoning with whatever you're doing externally. And hopefully once those are aligned, that can lead to something that is more positive and very kind of highly motivated.
Definitely. And it's worth pointing out at this point, I still have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. It's not that I suddenly, because I think everyone has this idea that it suddenly clicks and you get it. And it's just, as you said, Matt, it's something a little bit more closer to, you know, what you were told by a teacher when you were younger that you were good at. It's just having a little bit more, okay, what are you good at? But even if you're not good at it, why do you believe that, and how can you, like, if you enjoy it and it feels right in the moment, then go and start from there, because it will be a consistent journey. It will change, and I think, just to sort of bring this all back, because otherwise it'll end up the just me talking about myself, and Kiri won't get a word in.
Don't worry, but, I've got a question for Kiri.
It's starting to sound like an Alexi therapy session, so I was gonna jump in any minute.
No, exactly. And so really, I loved all of this. I loved, on the side, having these conversations with other people, because, for example, this is just my one little snippet and view of mental health to me and my journey. But I really started, I started having conversations with people who are close to me, who would never normally I've had those conversations with, and they made me feel really good. And that was literally the only reason I then went, well, I'm probably too nervous to set up a podcast on my own. And I'm sure that Kiri and I will offer really good different perspectives, because, as we said, for the various reasons, we're different, and it will be fun. And why not? So I sort of approached him, I think, with a conversation, and he, to my surprise, you were very keen, I think, Kiri.
Yeah.
How it happened?
Well, over Christmas, I think. And there's two
things. Well, literally Christmas as in last year.
Christmas 2019.
All right, so it's only been 12 months.
Two years, the one before. But
cool.
Literally was. I think we always, like ships in the night, we'd always pass each other maybe at home visiting family. And Lexi came with this great idea. And I thought, you know what, why not? And my angle on it, which is worth, I won't go over what Lexi said because he's all spot on, is I was just quite obsessed with this idea. And I started to get really annoyed that people started to, I could hear from people that there is this myth that successful and really driven and really engaging people don't suffer with their own mental health problems. I think we're starting to break it down now, actually, but it's taken a long, long time. But 2 years ago, before mental health was a big thing, before you had Prince William talking on the 10 o'clock news about mental health and fronting a lot of charities, people just believed that, oh, it's only something that me, a nobody, or me who's struggling with this and that, an everyday person, is going through. Well, actually, Alexi and I joined it, you know, we took his angle, and I said, well, you know what I want to go out there and do is go and speak to these really impressive people who seem to have it all, or seem to, you know, if I've either started a successful startup or are an elite professional sportsman or are an artist, a musician, and just have them tell their stories and show to everyone else that, hang on a second, we all go through the same things, different varying degrees. Yeah. And that was the angle,
And actually, in those situations, sometimes when you speak to those who have done some fantastic things, sometimes you realise that actually a lot of these people have gone through a hell of a mental health crisis at the same time as doing that. And sometimes, in some respects, there's some aspects of their personality which has made them be so successful, but actually has caused them to suffer hugely at the same time.
100%. We're all flawed geniuses, as they say, and well, not all of us, but some of us. And it's absolutely true. I think a lot of them, it's been fascinating, a lot of them have said that, well, actually, if they didn't have that, they probably wouldn't have been driven to that success in the first place. And so that's what we're trying to prove. And also, as you say, exactly from your introduction, let's normalize these conversations and make them things we can do every day. And only thing I'll add to that is that Alexi told you just then about his whole story and his struggles with why and his struggles with what sort of purpose he was looking for. Alexi and I probably talked more than anyone else and did talk more than anyone else at the time. I would have had no idea. And, you know, we would be very self-critical about this. And even now, we probably don't have that honest conversations all the time, as regularly as we should be, should do, about how each other's doing. We still shy away from them a bit, and we're there, you know, we've got to get better at it. And I know that, but it's just shows how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
And I'd be really interested, Kiri, from your perspective. So Alexi, growing up, like you say, took a more philosophical standpoint. And were you guys at school together, or were you at separate schools?
We were. He was always 18 months behind me. So where I would go and then he would follow. But the problem is you're always compared, you know, inevitably. Yeah. Like, we're compared throughout the whole, you know, everything we do, from exams to competitive sport to university grading entrances. We are compared with our peers and with family in this case, and it's difficult. But we were together the whole time, and probably because of that, we became very, very close, despite being very, very different people.
And what was your experience kind of mental health from school, going up through kind of, you know, college, university, whatever it was like? Was it very different, or were you having those internal conversations, but perhaps maybe articulating them in a different way?
Yeah, for me, it was always something I've got to overcome. It was a problem, a simple, I'd break it down. It was always broken down into a very simple problem, like, oh, I've got no confidence with, you know, my how I look, when I was sort of 16, 17, 18. And then it was 18, you know, not getting to university you want to, and then having a real self-confidence crisis on that. And you know, until we started this podcast, I wouldn't have called any of it mental health, because I think before we sort of saw mental health as something, a problem that someone has that they have to go and see a doctor about and take pills for.
Yeah.
And that's how I saw, naively, admittedly, at the time, mental health. And even through university, I graduated what, 6-7 years ago, so started 10 years ago, and even then I don't think it was a big thing at uni. And now, you know, my younger sister's just finished and it's huge, you know. Suicides are actually attributed to a mental health crisis, as opposed to someone just, you know, not being happy. And I think it's good. I think there's been incredible progress over the last 10 years, but my experience of it was completely different to Alexi's. I think I realized a lot later what mental health was, without sounding too sort of generic. I think it covers every aspect, so many aspects of our lives, and I didn't quite realize. And I think we all have, you know, even micro problems day to day are sort of mini mental health crises. And the big thing on our podcast is everyone suffers varying degrees, and there is no similar, you know, there's nothing, no advice you can give that's going to work for everyone, but we can all help. And I think the first step is talking about it. And as you say with Sidekick, it's not necessarily going and talking to someone else about it. Sometimes you can help yourself. And I really like that interesting aspect. And again, who are we to say to someone, this will work, this won't work? You know, everyone's got to go out there. And fundamentally, it comes down to you helping yourself, and whether that's talking to other people or taking it into your own hands, it's up to you.
Yeah. And in that particular moment, like you said, it becomes a priority. Or it has to become a priority for you to take action on it. And I'd be interested to hear from both of you, like, when did that priority, you know, start to move from, let's say, 10, 9, 8 up to the top and say, actually, this is something which I'm really going to focus on. Because certainly my experience is, you know, if you don't have a goal or you aren't able to focus on a certain priority, then, you know, our lives are busy. It just gets pushed aside. Whereas if you suddenly think, actually, I'm going to prioritize on maybe feeling a bit more positive, maybe a bit more confident, yeah, boost my self-esteem, actually, there's some really interesting and powerful effects that happen, but it's a lot of effort, a lot of time.
Oh, as we found, Alexi and I found firsthand, it's really not easy. And I admire anybody who starts a podcast, because we thought, oh, surely it's just turning up, recording a bit and off you go. And yeah, it certainly wasn't. And, you know, for context, Alexi and I both have our own jobs on the, I say on the side, but the jobs that take up all of our time. And yeah, this was always a project on the side. And we always felt towards the start, we always felt like we were squeezing it in, which I think was never the right way to do it. It needed all of our energy. And as much as I'd like to drop everything and go and do something like this, you know, we sometimes can't. But yeah, having something, and it comes down to the purpose question, the why question that Alexi said before, it doesn't mean you have to give up everything else, but having something that gets you up in the morning and you go, oh, I'm really looking forward to that today. You know, mm-hmm, oh, we've got a podcast recording this afternoon, you know, in between various meetings and calls with other people that, yeah, dare I say, it might be a bit boring. It's wonderful to have, you know, and I think actually the pandemic has been the sort of king of side projects. You know, people have suddenly, yeah, thought, I've got this time on my hands, I want another thing to focus on. It's so nice. And we are all busy, don't get me wrong, but there's always time for things that are going to help you either on your journey or also, you know, fulfill you a little bit more without sounding a little bit grand, but yeah.
No, but it's true. And I think, you know, I'm not sure, you know, it very similarly in terms of Psychic, we're a volunteer run. Yeah, we're a charity that everything gets done on the side of our day-to-day work. But there's something I find really psychologically fulfilling about that. And I'd be interested to get you, you know, both of your perspective. Like, if there's something that you do, which is basically a passion project that, you know, yes, at some point you may be able to monetize, but the reality is, you know, podcast charities, you know, it's not a synonym for money, frankly, let's, yes, be honest. Right. Yeah. So, but actually getting up every day, like, having these conversations, like, you know, my motivation was like, if I have an interesting conversation with interesting people every day, then as a baseline, that's quite a good day. Yeah. Even if the paid stuff goes to crap, you know what I mean?
That's exactly it. That's that. And that is, like I was sort of alluding to in what led me to the podcast, was that I was, every time I had a great conversation about what's going on in the world or what is life or what's going on mentally with, yeah, that person, whether it was about me or that person, usually it's more, I find them fascinating when someone is talking to me about what's going on in their head. And it was, how can I turn this into something that I'm going to do more often and record them and be able to then share them with others? But yeah, it really is. And did start as a way for us to just schedule in those conversations, yeah, because, and I think you're alluding to that, the question of, you know, how did it come about, and did it come from sort of conversations or things like that? And it really did, but it came, you know, so as my mental health got to the point where there was a decision that I had to make where I felt like I needed to do and follow what that thing was that I thought made me happier and gave me a buzz. And, you know, it's really hard to define. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got different definitions of happiness. And I really didn't understand what made me happy for a long time. But I knew at certain points that these conversations were giving me like a buzz and a feeling of, oh, wow, after I felt like a bit alive. And, mm-hmm, and it sounds very sort of woo-woo in certain respects, but it literally was like, oh, that just felt quite good, different to anything I've done before, and it's kept me you know, mentally much more healthy if I have those conversations than if I don't. So I think that's where it sort of started for me, and it sort of continued on to how can I now make it into more of my daily routine. Yeah. And make it into my work. And I think, again, that's slightly where Kiri and I differ, which is that I knew that I loved having and listening to these conversations of anyone talking from the worst things you can think about that's going on in their heads to the most positive things, because that's what mental health is. It can go from any spectrum of how can I feel alive to, you know, how can I feel like I don't want to be alive, which is and they're both valid and they're both really important. And that's why I, through the podcast, also learned that speaking out, and people, it was half of it. That's half of the process. And also more people need to feel listened to as well, and feel like they can share their problems with someone who will just focus all their attention on them and what they need to do. So that's why I've been training to be a mental health coach. Okay. And that's essentially where I want to put my time and energy. And luckily enough, I could have started the course and started sessions with people and it not been that same feeling, but it's been everything and more, and I'm absolutely loving it. And I can't say that about many jobs that I've done in the past. Mm. So that's sort of where I'm at, and I'm sort of, it's just enjoying, I'm enjoying the journey and enjoying, for me, giving and helping others.
Yeah.
Whilst also taking ownership that I'm still not there, and none of us are, I don't think any of us are always there. It's a continual sort of journey.
And I think as well with that motivation, and it sounds like you said, like you've been involved in startups, so you have that kind of startup mentality and motivation, but there's a real simplicity in what you say as well. It's these conversations are making me feel good, therefore I am going to try and find a way to have more of these conversations and get paid for them.
Yeah, I need to make it more sexy when I say that, I think, for business. But that is literally it. And it's worth telling people. It's as simple as that. And it wasn't a spiritual experience within me. It just, I could feel that, wow, I felt alive after these conversations.
And Kiri, like, does that differ from you? Is that something that you're trying to do? Or is it actually that what you're doing in terms of the conversation supplements your life in a way that it enables you to have, you know, have that positivity, but almost add to the positivity that you've already got going on?
Yeah, we come from it from a different angle, because selfishly, I'd say it's given me incredible perspective.
Mm.
And really, and actually helped me on my journey, because it's made, I've, you know, fair enough, at a minor level, you really get to see what helps for other people. You have incredibly interesting conversations. I think we learn from those conversations ourselves. You know, we've been lucky enough to interview all sorts of people who have given incredible advice, have told some amazing stories along the way, and you know, I come away from them getting a buzz and thinking, oh, that was amazing. But I also come away thinking, oh, I've learned a few things today.
Yeah,
you know, and then you also get a buzz from, you know, when someone comes back and says, oh, it was so useful, because it's the first time I've articulated what I wanted to say about my life story, and you know, it's really helped me suffer. You know, we've had some very normal people who've suffered greatly, who have been so brutally and rawly honest on our podcast, that you feel like you are helping someone, and that is one of the reasons that you want to do it. But for me, it won't become a sort of full-time part of my life like Alexi. But I'd like to think I get just as much out of it.
Yeah.
But we see it in very different ways, and I think Alexi is slightly more philosophical and about it, and I see the real practical benefits that people are sort of giving out there. And yeah, every time we get someone who says, oh, this is what I do to overcome this, you think, well, if it helps one other person, then it's worth it.
Yeah. And despite how, you know, the differing views of how it fits into your lives, what we're really kind of, you know, showing is that these conversations, whilst they are fundamentally what we believe, you know, that they are fundamentally important to have and people to listen to inspire other people to go inside, have conversations with themselves, have a conversation with others. Actually, there's some very, I suppose there's some, you know, there's some very, you know, listening, active listening, empathy, brings up some level of connection, which frankly, I'm not sure I really learned or got taught at school. Perhaps it's Britain, you know, I do find, and maybe it's London as well, we are highly individualistic. And it's often about how am I doing compared to someone else. You know, I know there's other cultures which actually take a much more community approach, but maybe in a more individualistic cities or societies, actually reminding yourself that having these conversations, you know, it's funny, you know, you're always thinking about, you know, I must could do this, I'm going to do this better, it's a me. Then you have a conversation with someone, you actually listen to them about what they're saying, and suddenly you start getting warm and fuzzy inside, and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
And suddenly you've got this balance, because you're thinking, hold on, this person in my head might be, you know, I might be competing against them, but actually that goes against what my fundamental kind of gut is saying, is actually cooperate with people. And I've certainly found that there's a real kind of clash between us trying to be individuals and us trying to be cooperative at the same time. It's a very difficult path to navigate. especially in business.
Definitely.
I know. And I
kind of feel on that, it's, I think we all want to make other people feel good or provide them with something. And I think that can be the greatest feeling, regardless of whatever it is that you're bringing. You know, for me, it's trying to help people within their mental health, which it just, that feels the greatest thing. And it's sort of the gift that I can give in that sense. But for Kiri, and I'm not speaking on his behalf, but I'm sure he finds value from, you know, helping businesses with their sort of financial situation, which is part of what he does. And I think we've always had that strive, and I think a lot of people do, that it is that warm and fuzzy feeling when you know you've provided real value to someone. It's way better than doing it for yourself.
I think that it's that real understanding, and you know, and you can get quite philosophical here. Like, you can talk about that kind of exchange of value, but value doesn't need to be money. Like, no. Yes, there is this undercurrent often of an exchange of services, and that is often, you know, designated by a contract which has contractual terms and money passed aside. But actually, fundamentally, there's two parties of people often, unless you've got a three-party agreement, but two parties of people who are exchanging often knowledge or service from one to the other because someone needs something, and that doesn't need to be aggressive. That can be, it can be very naturally, and it can be operated on a kind of on a friendship agreement at the same time. And there is something very nice at saying, like, the skills that I've learned in my individual life benefit you, and you appreciate that, and that benefit and appreciation is a really nice marriage.
100%. That's it. And if you can help that one person and you can provide them with value, I think it's human nature that we thrive off. Yeah. And it's what I get my buzz for. And as you say, it's not necessarily about the money. We all need money to live, but it's that exchange of values and helping someone along the way, whether it's professionally, personally, or with family. It's wonderful.
And if you're in those situations and you're trying to, you know, you're in the process of exchanging a service, exchanging that value, you know, someone what you're doing is solving a problem, someone's problem, and that problem is causing someone distress. It might be not deep emotional distress, but there's some distress in some level, but you solving that problem is going to make them feel better, and it's going to put their mind at ease. And you know, I do find that, you know, we often think about mental health and we think about it in more terms of medicinal hospitals, but actually like, it permeates everywhere, and opening up these kind of conversations are, you know, are fundamentally important. As soon as people start to recognize that it permeates everywhere, then, you know, it can break down some of these barriers, and you can engage and you can have some most meaningful conversations in your life in places which you never thought meaningful conversation would ever exist. Like, and I'm involved in financial services. Who knew that emotions can be in finance, eh?
It's funny you say it permeates everyday life. I think the biggest, the most common first question asked in any conversation is always, how are you? How are you doing?
Yeah.
And that is, in essence, a mental health question, really, when you think about it. Yeah, you might say, oh yeah, we're doing good, this and that and the other. But really, I think getting deeper with that, with the answer to that question, you could have a very, very valuable conversation around everything mental health just by saying, how are you doing?
So on that note, Kiri, today, how are you?
I'm good for a Monday. We're recording this on a Monday. It's cold and freezing in the snow, but no, generally I'm good. I've got outside. I've had a good weekend. We were saying just before this, I think the weekends have been incredibly relaxing because it's COVID and there's nothing else to do, and you don't fill your diary up with endless plans, and there's no social pressures to see everyone under the sun. So I'm doing good. I think, as Alexia mentioned earlier, your mental health is one long journey. You're never going to quite be there. And I try to work on it every day. And, you know, one of the things, one answer I'd say to you is, well, we're now a month into setting all those New Year's resolutions. And I'm yet to start a couple, but some of them are going really well. Some of them are helping, some of them not so much. So yeah, no, not too bad.
And Alexi, how are you?
Yeah, I actually do love that idea that we say that question a lot just before I sort of go into how I actually am. We say that question a lot, and a lot of people now do say, it's like, no, but how really are you? And I think that, on a side note, if we did, like you mentioned earlier, just understood this from a younger age, and we were asked these questions more, and we didn't accept good as just the answer, right? I'm okay. And of course, a lot of the time we don't have time to always pour our feelings out to each other. There's definitely a time and a place, and it can be exhausting from personal experience oversharing sometimes, and that is something that everyone has to watch out for, and there's a time and a place and the right people to do that in, but we definitely need more of it, and we know that. So how am I? I'm gonna be honest, I feel a little bit fuzzy in the head because I did drink a bit too much on Saturday night. I haven't been drinking that much during lockdown. Mm. So when I do, it's a couple day hangover for some reason. So, but apart from that, this conversation's really pepping me up already. And yeah, I feel excited to listen to it back, really.
And do you find as well, I mean, touching on alcohol, you know, some of those kind of fundamental basics, like do you both find, because I've certainly found that alcohol does impact my mood and mental health, sometimes in a good way. It's not always negative. This is something I've often found, like I can drink too much and feel good the next day, strangely, perhaps maybe more relaxed, maybe it's what I needed, or I can drink too much and feel bloody awful. Do you find, could it be interesting to understand the kind of the tools, the tips, the balances in your both of your lives that helped you? So what enables you to achieve that kind of level of moderation or positivity, or is that something you're still both working on?
It's always an ongoing process. I've learned a lot. I think one thing university teaches you is what you can and can't get away with from an alcoholic perspective and doing work and getting on with normal life. But it's not scientific, but there is 100% with me a connection between, you know, having a bit more anxiety on a Monday morning and how much I drank. 100%. I will not drink if I know I've got a big day of work or a big week of work, because I just know it affects me. It's not for everyone. I think what at 18, 19, it didn't affect me when I had kidneys and livers that could run on anything. But now at 28, it certainly does. And I would be lying if I said it doesn't affect my mood. If my anxiety goes up on a, you know, if I drink on a Saturday night, I know that on a Sunday, my Sunday blues are far worse.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you said there is nothing more that I need. I think for my mental health, I need sometimes a drink on a Friday night, and having a cold drink with a friend or with family is unbeatable and can do wonders for your mental health. And any, you know, alcohol-induced anxiety the next day is well worth it, because you've had your release for the week. So that's my view. And, you know, with alcohol, I think everyone's different and we all thrive off it in different ways. Mm. We all react to it different ways, but of course there's a connection. And it's just everything in excess is never going to be good for you. And I think a bit in moderation is perfect.
And you know, outside of that, you mentioned, you say, you know, meeting up with your friends, like what tools and tips have really kind of helped you along your way? You know, is it exercise, walking, meditations, breathing exercises, what works, or just sitting in a dark room chilling?
I'm an excellent virtuous. I'm an exercise nut, so I have to get outside and do a challenge myself, because I think, you know, you want to have something that you, for me, challenge is so important, because it sets your goals, it sets your targets, and it proves to you, and fundamentally this is the main thing, it proves to you that you can do absolutely anything or things that you thought were never possible. And I then use...
Which links back to your confidence you were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. If I'm struggling professionally, I'll always divert back to, well, okay, well, if I did that and I thought I'd never be able to do it, so maybe I should give it a go. And, you know, and I think from a confidence perspective, from a clear head perspective, I've always said ever since I was about 16, 17, if I ever needed to make a big decision, whether that be life or job or, you know, from things as novel as subjects, I'd go for a run.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be a fast run. Actually, slow runs are better, where you can hear yourself think. Mm. And it's the only way that I'd clear my head. And that's because I'm a bit of a warrior and I've always got stuff bouncing around in there. So that's what's worked for me. And, you know, I think the pandemic's been great for that, actually. I've got a lot more exercise in because we've got more time. And I think people have realised that, you know, exercise is just as important for your mental health as it is for your physical health.
And it's like making that connection between, let's say you're running, some people might like yoga, whatever it is, but 100%. you're running, that clears your head. And, you know, let's be honest, how much does a run cost?
It's free. Get a pair of running shoes and you're good to go.
Exactly.
You can run barefoot if you want.
Yeah, exactly right. But, you know, I think it's always important to stress that there's so many things that you can do if you are struggling. And I completely appreciate in a time of crisis that, you know, sometimes a run isn't going to cut it. But on the day to day, if you can get in those habits of finding the things that work for you and doing them on a regular basis, you can build quite a strong foundation so that when those tough times do come, you can cope with it in perhaps a better way than you would otherwise.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of who the guest was, Alexa. You might be able to help, but one of the best ones, we always ask for a nice quote to round things off at the end. And I think someone who'd been sort of extolling the virtues of good exercise and just a walk every now and then said, well, fresh air is free, so why wouldn't you take advantage of it? I thought, yeah, you know what? In this world where we pay for absolutely everything.
Absolutely.
Fresh air is absolutely free.
And on that, I think one of the greatest surprises, I don't know why it was a surprise, but was, I think, to both of us, that every time we asked that question, what was the greatest tool, it usually was something that is free and you can literally do now if you wanted to.
Yes.
And I think it comes back to, you know, Kiri and I are very different. And actually, you know, Kiri's worked probably on a lot of his mental health through doing some of those exercises. He's also done these ultra marathons, which you won't sort of talk about, but I couldn't think of anything worse. And when my mental health is not so good, a run can help, but it can also make things worse to a certain degree. And I actually find that I will just walk instead of run. And that's only a thing that I've started to realize in lockdown, because I still will have the pressure in my head of, well, I'm not really running my fastest and therefore I'm sort of not doing the best. So it can work in both ways. But to sort of answer your questions about, you know, what is the thing that I do the most or a tool, mine would actually be doing less, and just in all respects. So that could be just sitting on your own, not having your social media on, not scrolling through it, not having 10, 15 different conversations a day, not jumping around from thinking that you have to do practice after practice, because we can all get into that mindset of doing too much. And also, it can be so useful, and that's why people talk about all these tools and practices, but it can also be too much pressure. So you've just got to work out that you might be doing too much. And a lot of my overwhelming sensations have just come from feeling like I have to do more. And often that means I have to just sit there for a bit and go within. And it's not easy, and it's not what people, you know, show that it looks like. It doesn't look like peace a lot of the time, but it will be working something out so that down the line, you know how to handle yourself better, and just have less thoughts running around your head. For me, that it's getting myself from outside my head from inside my head to outside. And that often helps me, just because I've got a very racy mind all the time about what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. And that can be unhealthy.
And I can imagine, like, in those situations, like, actually taking the time to kind of self-reflect, like you said, like, it's like, you know, it can sound relaxing. I'm going to take 50 minutes of every day, kind of think about this. But actually, if you want, you know, often the reason you're busy is because you don't want to think about those things. So when you suddenly engage with it, suddenly it can get quite exhausting at the same time. Do you find with your walking as well, are you able to kind of mix the two? So you're able to kind of get the benefits of walking at the same time as kind of, you know, doing that kind of reflection?
Yeah, I think walking, and I know a lot of people feel the same, but walking is when I feel the clearest. If I could do this podcast whilst I was walking, I think there is plenty of science behind it. The best was this famous lecturer who used to do all his lectures at Oxford University walking around the campus, because he knew that he could speak so much better and it would allow his mind to sort of keep healthy. And I just noticed, like, I'll go for every phone call that I can, that I don't have to be in front of a screen. I'll get up, and even if I'm walking up and down my flat, that's what I've started to do, because it just allows me to think more clearly. And I don't know why, but that's what's worked for me.
Awesome. Get your steps up as well. You know, 10,000 steps. Just walk around your living room for hours on it.
Well, Kiri, it sounds like you're up to 100,000 steps a day at the moment.
I wish. I think the snow is making it absolutely difficult to go outside and walk anywhere. But that's what we should go for. 10,000 is enough.
Yeah, guys, well, thank you so much for your time and giving some insight. You know, obviously, you know, I know you're host of the Mindfield podcast, so you're often the ones that not necessarily being questioned, but to give some insight into your own kind of, you know, kind of open and honest kind of conversations, your own struggles growing up, and also how, you know, because one thing that you said at the beginning was about how different you are, and, you know, whilst you are brothers, I can really see how you do take two different approaches to not only your lives but also to your podcast. You approach it from different angles, but at the same time it still works, and I really, really like that. And I can assume that on your podcast, and I've listened to several episodes, that actually what I really love is those different set of questions from your different experiences enables the person you're hosting to kind of really get a sense from a kind of holistic perspective. So thanks so much for that.
No, thanks so much. We really enjoyed it. Don't always surround yourself with people who only agree with you, I think is a really good bit of advice someone once gave me. And Alexi and I take that. We're not afraid to tell each other when we don't agree. And it, I think it's also healthy. But yeah, no, Matt, I really love what Sidekick are doing as well.
Thanks
I think
so
it's,
much.
It's a really, really good cause. And yeah, thanks for having us on.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Guys, thanks so much. And thank you to everyone listening. You can subscribe to us on most major podcast platforms, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just search for Sidekick Community or Sidekick Stories and we'll pop up. And please do give us a rating if you like this show. And check out our free Sidekick app for iPhone and iPad, a collection of interactive exercises, tools, and tips like the ones we've discussed today to help boost your mental well-being. The app enables you to build a personalized well-being toolkit to help you deal with life's ups and downs. Just go to our website, www.sidekick.org.uk, and click the download now button in the header to take you to the App Store. Guys, thanks so much again.